fitted together, bringing up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God and Jesus. That we could be a dwelling place, abide in Christ, your word abide in us, Holy Spirit abide in us. So Lord, I pray that for all of us in this journey and this calling and this response and this unction, that you would just be gracious, establish, help, bring about the things that you once said this short 50 minutes. And as we launch this month now and begin to build mansions, begin to coach those longing to grow in the presence, incorporate what we're doing into ministries we already are watching over. We just ask you then for both the ability to see, to hear, to understand, to turn, to be healed, and to capture what's being done, and then to also bring others into it so we can all grow up together in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what I hope for us to do whenever we meet on the first Wednesday is to make sure that there'll be a time for questions, answers, things that are testimonies, things that are working, not working. And one of the ways we'll do that is if we get emails, and we'll have to use a microphone so that anybody with us watching can catch up with it. But here's a couple updates. When we'll in the next week or two, we will have available people to request being coached in presence, promise, and in power, in abiding, and God's word abiding in us, and his words, and the Holy Spirit abiding in us. Once that happens, we'll start pulling on you to be coaches. Now, that does not preempt in any way that you could go start meeting with somebody that the Lord leads you to, or incorporate it into the ministry you're already doing. So there's three ways. Coaching someone that's put in a request, and we'll try to link people. When we do that, and when you choose to coach somebody, let me give you this one guideline that I think is you'll all understand, but I'd like to start from the very beginning. We want to have men coach men and women coach women. Yes. Okay. The reason being is this, what we are stepping into when it begins, when the Holy Spirit starts to activate this, it is it is so much intimacy that if you are not you can mix up where the intimacy is. Let's put it that way. You, next thing you know, you think you fell in love with your soulmate, and you did, but it wasn't God's soulmate. It was you doing a soulmate thing. So so we will link people who request to be coached, or as you embark on discipling somebody, men to men, women to women. In a larger group, it can be a mixed group because that diffuses some of that possibility of that just, it goes. See, because we're learning, we want to develop spirit-filled, spirit-living beings that are habitating with Jesus and not soulish Christians. And so often, the soul, once it gets a wind of, once it gets kind of a rhythm of what God's doing, it just says kind of like, hey, I got this, let me drive. And it'll always kind of just get back in the driver's seat until we start to reckon it. Wait, that's the soul now driving. So get back in the back seat. I'm not going to have you being the leader of my emotions, a leader of my decisions. I want to be led by the Spirit, and I want to be fellowship inside the Word, and I want to let Jesus frame who I am in my life. So there's a conscious decision to say, that's my soul now trying to take charge. And we want to help people grow up in spirit-filled lives. So that will be in the next week or two, we'll make available, but you may start any time collecting somebody, gathering a group, incorporating into another the ministry. With that, we'll this month initiate, by the end of the month, what I'm going to ask you to do is once a month, give us an update of what you're doing. So that, especially, you know, when we're working with a person or working in a ministry, we can kind of learn. Because this is intentionally, I believe, going to be a learn-as-we-go discovery process. So what's working, what's not, trust me, as soon as, we'll look at it in a moment, as soon as you try to sit down to someone who's uninitiated in much of the kingdom, and you try to explain what we call the little mansions matrix and why this works, they're going to be like, and you're going to be like, and they're both are going to kind of have that moment where, what do we do now? And but then you just step past that, and next thing you know, the Holy Spirit starts to give you an idea, and you start to recognize how they're responding. See, everyone learns differently. Everyone responds differently. So you're not going to be reduplicating how you interact with Jesus, but you're going to be communicating the core of Jesus to other people and helping them interact with Jesus as he designed them to interact. So you will just grow in crazy leaps and bounds once you step into the role of coaching or building or teaching. So once a month, and we'll have that online. Hopefully it'll be something you can just go online and fill it out or email. I mean, it's not any big deal. There's no wrong, there's no right. What are you doing? How's it working? What are the questions? Those questions then will feed into the first Wednesday of the month, and we'll answer those questions live, and you know, so that anyone who, because if you have the question, I promise you many more people have that question. So don't ever think, I hope you have questions. You should have questions. If you're doing it without coming into, you know, conflicts, then you're probably just doing what you have always done. You know, this is a new dance, I hope, for all of us. So we're going to have to get the steps. So with that, let me say this. The most important thing is that you're enjoying Jesus. Yeah. That you are growing in your enjoyment and experience with Jesus by practicing living in his sight of his presence, becoming conscious. You see, some of this now may be a little bit like, you know, too elementary. You already are fluid in what you do. But the thing about teaching is the more you become able to take a very complex idea and put it into a very simple thought, it's transferable. So grow in that practicing, okay, and we will in a moment, presence, okay? How do I get into the presence, awareness of the presence? Practice the promises, the living inside of that sound and the confession of hope and becoming aware of the power, so that in every session, which you're trying to do, to give the amount of time to keep yourself growing at a pace that keeps you ahead of everybody. You know, that's the beautiful thing. If you start coaching somebody, you have to work harder to keep ahead, because you're the one that has to be. And it's not like a competitive, it just means that once Jesus gets a hold of somebody, they're not going to stop. You won't be trying to say, okay, can you really give us 20 minutes? Do you think God could give them 30 minutes? Once you get connected, you will have to keep a stopwatch to tell you to stop doing what you're doing and get back to work or back to the family, because he is eternity. He is life. He is light. He is love. He is ever enlarging, and he loves to talk. And once you start having this, and it's life, it's not religion, it's not thoughts, it's not doctrine, it's not beliefs, it's not practices, it's an engaged relationship. I promise you, it is so fulfilling that you'll have to stop yourself and close the conversation more than be watching your watch and like, is an hour gone by yet? But for everyone, it's a different when it works. So Larry Lee used to say this, and I think it's a terrific statement, that we begin with a desire that we have to translate into a discipline. And then when the discipline becomes ours, it becomes a delight. We would like to go from desire to delight, but you've got to place discipline in it. You've got to pay the time. You got to put the practice in and process. And we're not trying to, it's not a constraint. It's just a beginning point, and then you'll get your own language and we'll learn our own way. So enjoy I would say, as we said in the beginning, 5 days a week, an hour a day is a great baseline to be practicing. And again, in the kingdom, once you hit a place of life, you will live on that level. And the unfortunate thing about all of us is that I found a long time ago that Jesus expects me to live on the highest level that I've met him at. And if I go backwards, my life doesn't work on the planet. So the good news is you can go as far in and as high up as you want. The bad news is once you go far in and high up, you got to stay there. Because you can't function back down here with the same kind of life. Because when you're high in and far in and high up, you're living in touching light and eternity, and it's in its own, by its own declaration in the scripture, it is initiating a deconstruction of your natural life. It's shaking everything that can be shaken. So if you come up into this encounter and it's like, oh, this is the most glorious experience in Jesus I've ever had. I can't wait to go home and see what he's done to my yard. It doesn't translate immediately to a better looking yard. Does that make sense? It's like the old thing they said, the day you decide to tithe is when your washer breaks. It is the testing is both to try to get you to release the word, as well as it is to, in God's mind, is you're going to take the word in deeper into your spirit and make it become yours. So live at the level that God's calling you to. Okay, so can we put on, Kim, the matrix? And I wanted to show you a moment of how to practice this, and I want to practice it ourselves. Again, the Holy Spirit moves as he likes, and he moves fast, he's slow, he moves as a whisper, he moves as a mighty sound. He's not in any way restricted to this, and I am only doing this as a way of trying to stimulate imagery. And I'm going to add to this. Oh, that was the last thing I meant to say. Please, the help that you're going to give us, testimonies, questions, what's working, is going to help us in the next month or two formulate material that's enough that we can then put it into everybody's hands so that they can have a resource that can go back and go, okay, presence, and what is all that? And how do you get there? And how do you live there? And promise, how does that function? What are different ways we can say talk about promise? So we hope to have that available by July, end of July, 1st of August. So you're a part of that. You get to be, what you learn is what we're learning. It's going to be like a mass moment. You see, it's like on Pentecost, Acts 2, they got together, Jesus said, pray. Do what you know to do to get in my presence. And while they're in the presence, the thing that came to them was, we need to get a new disciple, we need to get a new apostle. Let's go to the scriptures and figure out what to do. The word. And then the Holy Spirit came and everything just exploded. So presence, promise, and power. Church began that, continues to this day. So in this matrix, you could go any direction. There's like components. It's not like one is at a higher level. But I linked them mostly because they're linked in scripture that way. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. Jesus, by his very death, burial, resurrection, is our faith in him, therefore justified in him, gives us immediate access into the presence of God. And therefore, he gives us a command, abide in me. So if you're going to abide in Jesus, this is meant to be practiced so that you change your paradigm. If I'm abiding in Jesus and I go to worship him, I've got to change the way I approach him. I can't, start my song by saying, I'm getting ready to come and see you. I'm already in you. You're already in me. So I got to acknowledge who you are and where you are. And so it's the opportunity. It doesn't make you go, I don't like that song anymore. It just means you'll become aware that, wow, there's a lot of steps we're taking that are unnecessary steps because we were given all of these steps done in Christ's death. Does that make sense? And you see, we're getting to know the resurrected Lord. And he is way more wild than the Jesus of Galilee. Because he's like conquered death. He's like raised from the dead. He's got everything under his feet. He's the head over everything to the church. It's his body. I mean, he's like just totally like, kiss me or I'll bust you as a clay pot. I mean, I'm God. I'm Lord. But I'm kind. I'm gentle. I like to play. I'm fun. I'm not, I have no vindictiveness. I have no wrath. I am love. I am forgiveness. So I'm not I don't even have an issue with sin because I swallowed it up and spit it out. So he's like, God and good, super, supersized from the Jesus we saw walking as the only begotten Son. So presence. So let's practice this. If faith allows me immediate access in the presence of God to become aware. Now, in the middle of my day, when I wake up like everybody. I'm tired. I wish I could sleep longer. My day's like whatever day it was. But when I then take intentionality and step into the presence of God through Jesus, now I am in eternity, and it trumps temporary. And soon the eternal experience of presence will start to change the way I'm feeling about the day or the way the day is trying to impose itself on me. So just take a moment, close your eyes, and I want you to enter into the presence of God, however you would do it. We know Jesus is the key, but I just want you to enter in the presence. It doesn't have to be anything loud, large. It should be and will be immediate. And if you go, how do I know from there? That's by faith. So by faith, now I'm in the presence. Now the devil's no dummy, and your soul isn't meant to be ignorant. So at some point, you're going to say, how do I know I'm in the presence? So I'm going to ask you now, what scripture or what... What gives you the right to be in the presence of God? What gives you the right? And now acknowledge it. I'm now in the presence of God because of this. I'm in the presence. Why am I in the presence? What gives me the right? Basis of what Jesus did. It'll always go back to him. His blood, the new and living way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through him. But it's key you have that, and many of you have multiple reasons. Now that you're in the presence, take a moment and just acknowledge Jesus Christ for who he is and what he's done. The life he carries, the victory he won, the kindness that he is, the healing that he brings, resurrection life, whatever it is, again. And look for, again, a scripture connection. Because those are just, they become so, oftentimes, really key little handles you can grab. Like climbing a mountain, you're looking for that next place you can put your fingers in. Okay, say again to yourself and to the Lord, I'm here in your presence. And I'm here in your presence because, and in your presence, I declare and praise you for. Okay, let's stop. Now, the presence of God, it's like we are like little teeny, our learning curve is so slow compared to the light speed of God that scripture becomes so much a powerful medium for God to exchange himself to us. So scripture becomes something that immediately you look for. And I don't mean it for just the reason you can be there, but for the now what becomes the confession of hope. A scripture is... a promise is eternal, and if you have it will redefine how you're feeling. It will reframe how you're thinking, because it's promise. It has hope. It's all about the glorification that both is now is and is coming, and you'll find, I tend to find, is there scriptures that really awaken an encounter. So if I come into the presence of Jesus, Jesus will say to me in a kind way, and in Scripture very much makes it clear, all right, let's go to the throne. Let's go be with Dad, or let's go have an encounter. Let's go get some grace and mercy for your day. Where's your confession of hope? That's the only thing that's what I bring with me now, as me and Jesus go to spend time in the presence of the Father, where he gives life to the dead and calls those things that don't exist. Now, we said this earlier when we were having a meeting, and we are the generation from the 70s on, after the charismatic renewal initially took place, we got into what was known as the faith movement, which then taught us righteousness and taught us the word and taught us the truth. But with it, it taught us the value of the spoken word of God, which we call the Rhema. And we learned that the Rhema is where faith comes. Rhema is the sword of the Spirit. Rhema is everything. And it almost took a point, even though Rhema is not mentioned as much as Logos, Rhema would be the spoken word. Logos would be the completion of the word. I found myself, I want the Rhema. I don't really care about the Logos. But over this last 5 years, I love the Logos. I love the Logos more than the Rhema, because my Rhema had become a to-do list for God. I came like a nagging wife. You said, you promised, you said. And honestly, we're cultivating for people to have a very conversational, honest, genuine, life-giving relationship. So we don't want this you said, this religious stuff. So the Logos is a larger picture. The Logos is the operating system of your computer. The Rhema is a certain app. It does a certain thing. You need the Rhema. It's the right word for the right moment, for the right time to do the right work. But you don't have a relationship with a Rhema, right? Do that with your spouse. It's not like a church service. It's you're eating dinner, you're washing dishes, you're doing chores, you're cleaning the house, you're reminiscing, you're thinking forward, you're thinking backward, you're having conversations, it's life. That's what Logos is. It's the sum total, and that is your testimony. That's the confession of hope. It's not that I got it down to two verses. Trust me, I've done this. I memorized. I wrote books for myself to make sure God didn't forget all the things he promised to do, and held them to every one of them, until finally I was about to go crazy, and he said, why don't you just let that seed fall on the ground and die? It's never going to grow and never become anything unless you let it die. So in the Logos, promise, hope, glorification, word of life, testimony, it's the conversation. So now that we're in the presence of God, I will often find that there's some real comforting scripture. And it can be just a few verses. It could be a whole chapter. It could be a number of chapters. It really depends on the season I'm in and how much of God's word I'm needing to anchor my soul and awaken my heart and create joy. And there's no right scripture. Again, when you're talking about your confession of hope and building in promise and working in scripture, meditation, we're stepping into the meditation part of our encounter. You're looking for where am I lacking, or where am I in conflict? Where do I have such a need, like I've shared before as an example? I had no vision for prosperity in my heart. When it came to laying down my soul and letting go of my soulish driving of the king of Christianity, when it came to now believing God for prosperity, I realized I don't have an image in my heart. All that image was in my soul. And the soul had to pick up the cross and die. It had to kind of like not be the demander. So I had to kind of lost. So some files transfer really easy. Scripture. But what that scripture means a totally different thing in your heart than it does to your mind. When it's in your soul, it's about saving you. When it's in the heart, it's about Jesus being glorified, which sometimes saves you, sometimes doesn't. So the conflict, but you're building it in. When you're building it in, that was a point of need. So I began to listen and look for where was the Holy Spirit talking and where was the scripture speaking and where do I build and grow? And that just takes time. And we're going to do that in a moment on a new word just called, for the, our sake, called build or building or builders. But once you find that, it becomes, I believe, it's a confession of hope. So you're not going into the, you're not going to the throne room trying to convince God and force him to do what he isn't doing. You're coming in to agree with God and enjoy what he's already doing. It is where scripture experienced in the presence of God or is more real than it was if it had been delivered to you by the UPS. It is more genuine and it is recognized in heaven as complete because Abraham was made righteous when he believed God, not when he received Isaac. And when he believed God, he went and made Ishmael. So you can be in righteousness and having some really messed up issues. So we ought to be a lot judgmental toward each other and especially ourselves. We're going to see things that we have no way to walk out. But if we'll just keep seeing, one of these days, God will bring what we saw to pass. And about the time, we don't care if he does or doesn't, because we've already now gone way past that first thing we saw. By the time Isaac's born, Abraham's already seen Jesus. According to Jesus' words, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it. So the expansion grows. So take a moment. You're in the presence. Look for a scripture, look for a phrase, a chapter. Go someplace that's comforting to you right now and take a portion, just for a second. A portion, something that just, it calibrates you back. It collects you into eternity. It grounds you. It places you inside the rock and truth. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it's clarity of words. Sometimes it's the feeling that comes from the phrase. It comes from the sense that it brings. We've all sat down and ate a beautiful meal and enjoyed it so much that the next time we smelt it cooking, we could already taste it. That's what scripture becomes like. And it just kind of like we already start salivating and look forward to the meal. Okay, but we have to stop. Let's keep going. Now we're going to do the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's kind of more hidden because he's unique in that he wants to give us power. And according to Jesus' words, power to be a witness, which according to be Jesus, is power to be a martyr. So we may die in our witness, but we won't mind because we're so intoxicated in the love of God. Love lays down its life. He is union. He establishes union, he affirms union, and the only real test that we're living on this planet is to do what Jesus did and not break connection, although we break connection constantly, but he never broke union with Father. We are never to break union with Jesus. You go out of here tonight and do something stupid, I don't want you to break union with Jesus when you realize how stupid you were. All right? I want you to acknowledge you were stupid, but I want you to acknowledge that you are still connected to Jesus because you cannot disconnect yourself from someone who has decided to connect himself for eternity with you. That'll change the way you deal with life because most people, you're lured into temptation, you sin, then you're separated through condemnation, then you got to find some way to pay back, and it's so much more work to do, and next thing you know, you just go, why try? I'm never going to get free. But you see, that's trying to control the flesh. When is if we just go and re-engage in the Holy Spirit and fellowship in who he is, next thing you know, the flesh has no access. Because you don't, it's whoever you feed. Feed your spirit, feed yourself on the Lord, not trying to do that. So the union is what we hold. That's a huge practice. Holy Spirit's there to do it. So everything trying to separate us from God's love cannot do it. Wow. Just 10, 20 minutes. Love not. So in the Holy Spirit, the reason it's harder for people to recognize him is that he usually leads us to death before he leads us to life. He usually escorts us to testing before he it carries us in power of demonstration. He is more present daily in his fruitfulness than he is in his gifting, because we need his fruit. We need to devour. So if you were wanting to grow in your communion in Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 would be a great place to go and worship God for the fruit of who he is experienced in Holy Spirit's expression. But now, this little matrix, the reason you kind of familiarize with you is that if you go to Romans 4 and you see presence, promise, and power, and you go that in the presence of him whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, you go, wow, there it is, Jesus. And calls things that don't exist as though they do. Wow, there's promise. And then a few verses down the road, he goes on and he says, and he became fully convinced that what he promised he was able to perform. There's completion, there's power. If you go to 1 Corinthians 13, we know they're bound by faith, hope, and love. So the way this would open is go to some place and start to encounter God inside of that scripture and look at those words. Or mess around with it. If you go to Romans, presence, inside of presence, there'll always be hope going down from the, and then going down, going to the right, or going to your right, one down, which always recreates union. Why would union be found where hope and presence are? Because the hope takes us behind the veil where the presence is, where Jesus, our forerunner. See, the intentionality of practicing this is not because it's all like a mechanical matrix that has to be understood to be able to enjoy, but it's the opposite. It's when you're warred against, you have to know how to put your rifle back together, because something's going to fall apart, and you're not going to know how it did. You're going to have to know where it goes where. And the more you know how to do it, because it's not God who's discouraging you, accusing you, condemning you, vexing you, harassing you, trying to kill you. It's the devil. But he's actually being used by God to allow you to go further into the presence, let the word of God abide in you in a more rich way, and rely more and more completely on the Holy Spirit for everything we do. So, do I have a question? I didn't get any through the email. And if not, I will go on to, I want to show you how to meditate, build. Since we're builders, I thought early on, is that in the Bible? Fortunately, it is. We didn't come up with a word that's not in the Bible. And I have given Kim about 15 scriptures. I'm going to show you these because you can discover this for your own identity of authority to have expectation that Jesus is going to enable you in the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness to Jesus. There it is right there. Holy Spirit, witness, testimony, Jesus. Jesus, witness, Holy Spirit. But he wants to now bring it to other people. And that's what we want to step into. So in 1 Peter 2:5, it says, let me tell you what the word builder is. It comes from two words. It's oki, domio. It means a house builder. It's to construct, literally and figuratively, to confirm. And we'll see that there's a capacity to construct and confirm things that are happening inside another person. That's what we often go, that's a confirmation. Mouth of two witnesses. It comes from two words, doma, which okios. I used to know that word. A dwelling. Or a family, a place of abiding, and the word doma, which is to build. So when it says a builder is one who is a house builder, construct and confirmed. That's just the strongest concordance. It never makes a lot of sense because it's broken in little jiggerties, but if you meditate on it, confirm, construct, how do you construct and confirm? How would those look be together? Why do they flow together? Builder, house builder. Look inside now the content of the scripture and find meaning. But now I'll give you all the scriptures that I'm going to show you use this Greek word. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up. A spiritual house, there's the word, built up. A holy priesthood, and ought to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, now this is, I want, therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, he's the stone which the builders rejected. See, builders, same word. Builders, we are participating in the building of the mansion for God's dwelling. We are participating in becoming joined together in living stones to be this place for God to dwell and sacrifice the praise to be received. This is there's a building up. It became rejected, but God chose to be the chief cornerstone. So again, everything we're about is Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus Christ. Everything is about Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ trumps everything, he overrides everything, you don't have to be right if you know Jesus. You don't have to do it right if you know Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. Get him in the place. Okay, Luke 14, 28. Scripture, Jesus used this parable about somebody who would not take the time to think out the process and begin an enterprise of following Jesus and back out. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and first count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? So the idea that it's, you know, we used to sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. No, though none go with me, still I must follow, because it's a lifelong journey. I would encourage you, if you want to build the imagery of building, you can practice some, go in the God's presence and meditate with them. Acts 4:11, this is quoted all the time about Jesus. We just spoke about it. The stone which was rejected by the builders has become the chief cornerstone. So when we are engaged in relationship with someone, helping them have an encounter, see, all we're trying to do is be a midwife. We're just recognizing we are somebody that's encouraging and giving permission to someone have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be these guys who become so heady in our thinking and so limited in God's ability that we start rejecting Jesus when he's showing up. That's what they did. They rejected it. Well, this is a foreign entity. But he actually is the cornerstone. He's always the cornerstone. If he is not a cornerstone in an experience, just walk away. It isn't worth trying to go. Let's go to Matthew 27:40. Interesting enough about Jesus, the number one accusation, I'm giving you so much. I mean, this will take you weeks to work through all of them. The number one accusation against Jesus was that he was threatening to tear down the temple. And it followed as the accusation against Stephen, and it followed all the way to the accusation against Paul. Therefore, be prepared that when we begin to glorify and align ourselves with Jesus Christ, we threaten religious systems. And they will rise up and accuse us when in fact we are not taking apart anybody's stuff. It's all fine, let it be there. And saying, and this is the mockery on the cross, but it was the accusation in Caiaphas' house. You will destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself if you're the Son of God. He never said he would build it. He said he would raise it. Which is cool, because we're not going to be stuck there trying to. It's not as impossible once the Holy Spirit kicks in and makes it come alive. But let's keep going. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, meditation, and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, floods came, the wind blew, and the beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So when I start going into this, taking the time, this would be weeks of enjoyment. If the Holy Spirit starts fanning and encouraging, I follow where He's leading. I learned a long time, if I'll go into the subject He's interested in, it'll be interesting to me. So I'm not trying to compel my thinking, but you'll notice that there's so much about the way building is built and what a built house and in the Word and the promise that it brings. So quickly, I'm going to just take you to Acts 7:47. But Solomon built him a house. Beautiful. So even though there are intentionalities, sometimes there comes a day when God says to someone, I will allow you to build me a house. May it be Jesus speak it to us. May He allow that to be what He says, build me a house. Acts 7, verse 4. I'm jumping ahead. I messed up. I'm sorry, Kim, because it's in the same sermon of Stephen, Acts 7, 4. God Himself said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you'll build for me? So it's not a physical house. It's a house that God's building in our hearts, a place of dwelling, a habitation, a contrite heart. But there comes a day when He allows us to really be a participant. A dreamer, a seer, and then a doer. What a joy. Okay, back on track. Sorry, Kim, you fixed it. I'm off again. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Builders. I'm a builder. What does a builder mean? What is that going to do? How do I learn? What in the world is that? He who speaks in tongues builds himself. But he who prophesies builds the church. Wow. When encountering the Lord, you will find more times and more times and more times that tongues becomes the end conversation because it's just nothing more to say. Your brain shuts down, but your spirit's soaring. And you just feel like it's not like my kids accuse me that I'll use tongues instead of swearing when I hurt my thumb. And Cammie would say sometimes I use tongues as kind of like I'm yelling at God. Which I'm sure I've done that too, you know. But there's these tongues that are just communal, descriptive, colorful painting agreement sound that just is, it's just like we've gone past all permission, all waivers, all signs, all accepts. We've processed, and now God just says, let me just carry you beyond where you can go with me if we have to keep up with your mind, your understanding. So speak in tongues. Beautiful thing to encourage, not enough done anymore, but it will be, I think, a lot more. You'll find tongues to be important. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Here's something, radical grace scripture. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful to me, but not all things edify. The slave wants a law, so he knows what he can do and what not to do and how to get around what he wants to do. A son has to be responsible that, no, I can do anything I want, but not everything I want would be helpful. So I'm going to have responsibility with myself, and not everything I would want or choose to do might build me up, it might tear me down, so I'm going to learn my consecration in the Lord. Isn't that cool? That happens in that which builds us up. Verse 1 Thessalonians 5:11. This one is really cool. I'm going to go to this one, especially this, because this is a really powerful, it caught my attention. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Poor translation, Old King James said something more like, therefore, comfort ye one another. It has the idea of the comfort is to exhort, pull together, and then the one another has the reduplicating. It's like cells, like, okay, what now that let what is happening of God in you translate to one another in sound and verbiage and conversation, and also allow the building up of each person. And that's what we get to do when we watch Jesus coming alive in somebody. And we're encouraging him. Go ahead. Yeah, just go into that scripture. Go ahead, spend more time there. Why not? That's probably a really good promise for you. That's all we're coaching. We're helping them to. But you carry something. You carry anointing. You carry presence. You carry peace. You change atmospheres when you're with somebody. They're all agitated and frightened, and they're overwhelmed, and they're coming into your peace. Now that they're in your peace, they can start to have peace. And if they're in peace, they can think another thought. They can have another idea. They can see something in a new way. So just as we benefit when we all collect ourselves in the corporate setting and the authority rises and the clarity gets there, so it will happen one-on-one. That's why when the eunuch is trying to read the scripture, it's the Holy Spirit that tells Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. Because this man, he is a seeker, but he's limited from his capacity to see. But if you come and sit with him, you'll help him see Jesus. That's all evangelism is in the simplest of the discovery mode. He didn't need to be healed. He just needed help to see clearer. Okay, Galatians 2:18. This is a powerful scripture. If I build again. See, when I'm learning a word, I'm looking at all the ways the word is used, and it helps gives me a composite of what the word fully means. If I build again those things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor. Literally, that means if I go back and start to build the Old Testament relationship of God to me, which I declared destroyed in Jesus Christ, I have now become a transgressor. That's a crazy thought. And I mean, I am inserting understanding based on the entire chapter reading. So you have to go in there yourself and kind of go, what do you mean? You mean am I, and it's all about Peter and backing out of where he was supposed to live from. But you can build things that were destroyed that are no longer to be built. You can do things that will not build you up. You can use the prayer language to build yourself up. You are being built up into a holy habitation. Romans 15:20. Paul made this statement, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So I preached the gospel where Christ was not named, lest I build upon another man's foundation. Some of the things we will discover is that people have already set foundations of beliefs. Some of them are really awesome. Jesus Christ, cornerstones, perfect in any case. But some are traditions. Some are limitations that have been built through the traditions and pragmatate. You know, so sometimes it's the easiest person to be to bring into a discovery is someone who knows nothing. Because you can build from the start. So the good news, you're not looking for an educated person. Matthew, three more and I'm done. Matthew 16:18. Jesus says to Peter, "There, thou art Peter, and on this house I will build my church, on this rock, on this revelation of myself, Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail." So we are participating with Jesus as he is building through the experience of revelation of Jesus Christ, and through the justification, the promises, and all that, we're just flowing in an organic moment. Acts 7:4. No, I already did that one. So we don't have Ephesians 2:17. We'll close with this. Now I've just gave you a bunch of raw stuff. I'd be like, I just chopped a bunch of garlic and threw it out there. And you might kind of go, ooh, that's just too strong. Well, that's because it hasn't simmered and it hasn't percolated and you haven't processed and you haven't mixed it with some other vegetables. So, but I just want to use it as how we can, because you want to be the first and foremost a beneficiary of these practices more than anything else, because that's how the kingdom expands. So Ephesians, go to verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we have both access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we ourselves, as living stones, our own dwelling places of God and the Spirit, are being built on the foundation of the prophets, apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the home building, which means all of us, are fitted together, which is a living, connecting, collecting. That's why we start to have a knowing of each other. We grow, which is an organic imagery. It's not a fitted by man and forced by man. It's a living experience into, which is the same, the body grows into the head, the many members grows up into him, into a holy temple in the Lord. So we're inside of Jesus, we're becoming a holy temple, all of us collected together, in whom also we're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That's the summation of what is happening. One day, New Jerusalem will fully have been fitted together and fully landing flat on the earth, a brand new earth and a brand new day. And we, that living group of people. But every day we practice that. So I hope that didn't, and I go, wow, that's way too much. But I promise you, if you would just take your time and meditate, experience Jesus in his presence, experience his word in his presence, let his word begin to aliven you, what will come out of it is there'll come an authority that translates. I have been given an assignment before my living Father to build a house for him to dwell. If I begin with my heart, my heart is his home. I grow that place because it was given to me in Christ. I am able to build of the things of Christ, not build of the old. I'm to allow Jesus to always be the cornerstone of all the fitting. I am a part of a larger building. You see, it just grows inside of you. And the more that grows inside of you, it becomes a component, a place where God dwells and a place where you dwell. A place where you run into shelter. Jesus, his name is like a strong tower and the righteous run in are safe. We begin to kind of go, okay, wait, I've got a sense of what I am to be doing and what I don't need to be doing. What I am to be expecting to be happening and what I'm trying, I don't have to try to be responsible to happen. So, amen. All right, thank you guys. Thank you so much. We'll